Right. So we're diving into a story that I think a lot of people think they know. We're going to be talking to Judas and the arrest of Jesus.
Okay.
And, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think about this story, they just think, oh, Judas, like, you know, 30 pieces of silver, greed, bad guy.
Right.
But the Discover Jesus website kind of presents us with a different perspective on this.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, this sort of, like, alternate take on it. You know, that it wasn't just about the money.
Right.
That there were all these other things going on in Judas's mind, and some of them, you know, quite compelling and make him a much more human and even tragic figure.
Yeah, so let's unpack this a little bit.
Okay.
So, you know, we're talking about the arrest of Jesus, and this website tells us that Judas's plan kind of started to unravel pretty quickly.
Okay.
He went to the captain of the temple guards expecting to find Jesus there to, you know, hand him over. But it seems like things didn't quite go as he'd anticipated.
Right. Yeah. They make a point of this on the website that, like, this is a real turning point.
Right.
Because it's almost like the reality of what he's about to do sets in.
Okay.
And that's where the fear kind of kicks in.
So what was he afraid of? I mean, was it the Romans?
Well, the website suggests that actually he was more afraid of Jesus's own followers.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, by this point, you know, Jesus has a considerable following. And you can imagine that some of them might not take too kindly to, you know, one of their own betraying their leader.
Right. Yeah. I mean, betrayal rarely goes unpunished.
Exactly.
Especially in a situation like this.
Especially in a situation like this. So yeah, it seems that's what really starts to weigh on Judas's mind.
So knowing that, you know, he could face retaliation, like, how does his fear kind of shape his next move?
Well, that's where it gets really interesting, because instead of, you know, just calling the whole thing off, he decides to head to Gethsemane, knowing that that's where he'll find Jesus. But here's the key detail.
Okay.
He requests a company of 40 armed soldiers to accompany him.
Ooh, 40?
40 armed soldiers.
That's like, that's a sign that he's really expecting some trouble.
Yeah, it suggests that he wasn't just like some cold, calculating, you know, greedy betrayer looking for a quick payday. I mean, this guy was genuinely afraid and he felt like he needed protection.
Okay, so we've got a terrified Judas with 40 armed soldiers backing him up, heading toward Gethsemane to apprehend Jesus.
It's a pretty dramatic scene.
Yeah, talk about high stakes. I mean,
the website, it paints a really vivid picture of this encounter. You know, it's nighttime, torches are blazing. You've got this large group of over 60 people, soldiers, temple guards, Judas, approaching the garden.
So it's like a whole procession.
Yeah, it's chaotic.
Yeah.
It's tense.
And Judas is trying to, like, I guess, maintain some sort of facade of innocence.
Right. He wants to appear like he's just arriving before the soldiers, almost. Almost like he's there to warn Jesus or something.
Right, right.
But of course, with all those torches and soldiers, I mean, it's pretty clear what's going on. And obviously the apostles and Jesus's other followers immediately, you know, sense danger and rush to his side.
Right. Yeah, it's like a confrontation brewing.
Oh, yeah. It's like two sides squaring off. You've got Judas and the soldiers on one side, and then you've got the apostles and their companions on the other, and Jesus is caught right in the middle of it all.
Oh, man. I can't imagine the emotions, like, just swirling around in that moment.
Yeah, it's just this collision of betrayal, fear, you know, loyalty, all playing out under the cover of darkness.
Yeah.
And then just as Judas is about to step forward, Jesus does something completely unexpected that totally changes the whole dynamic of the situation.
What happens? I thought Judas was supposed to be the one to identify Jesus, you know, for the soldiers.
That's what's so interesting about this detail, because the Discover Jesus website tells us that Jesus actually identifies himself to the soldiers before Judas even has a chance.
Oh, wow.
He steps forward and asks them, who are you looking for?
Whoa. Well, so he's not even waiting for Judas to point him out.
Right. It's like he's taking control of the situation.
Right. He's not being passively apprehended.
Exactly.
That's really interesting.
So then it raises the question, like, why did Judas still feel the need to go through with the kiss?
Yeah, I mean, his role seems totally redundant at this point.
It's a really puzzling detail, isn't it? It's like, what was the point? You know?
Yeah, I mean, the website doesn't really give us a clear answer.
Right.
But it kind of hints at, you know, maybe Judas is just stuck.
Mm.
Like, he's made this decision.
Yeah, like he's already committed to this course of action.
Yeah, and maybe he's still focused on, you know, that reward he was promised.
Yeah, it's almost like he's trapped, you know?
Right.
He's in too deep. he can't back out now, even though, you know, things have changed.
Right. So he presses on, I guess, driven by, you know, fear, maybe some misplaced loyalty, maybe even, you know, hoping for some kind of way out of this whole mess.
Right.
Let's talk about the kiss itself. Okay. I mean, this is one of the most iconic images in history.
It is.
How does the website describe this moment?
Well, I mean, they don't shy away from the, you know, the weight of the scene.
Right.
They describe Judas approaching Jesus and embracing him.
Okay.
And kissing him on the brow and saying, "Hail, Master and Teacher."
But even while he's being betrayed.
Yeah.
Jesus still calls him friend.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's really powerful. I mean, even in the face of this betrayal, Jesus, you know, responds with this question that really cuts to the heart of it.
What does he say?
He says, you know, "Friend, is it not enough to do this? Would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?"
Wow. It's hard to imagine what must have been going through the apostles' minds as they're watching all of this.
I know, right? They must have been stunned. I mean, trying to reconcile this betrayal with, you know, everything they thought they knew about Judas.
Right, right. About their whole community.
About their mission.
Yeah, it's like everything they believe in is suddenly being shaken.
Yeah, I mean, they've been following Jesus. They've embraced this message of love and forgiveness. And,
right.
And now, you know, they're confronted with this deceit from one of their own.
Right, from within their own ranks.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the Discover Jesus website, it kind of adds another layer to this whole thing.
Okay.
It points out that even the soldiers, both the Jewish and Roman officers, they despise Judas.
Right. They wouldn't even speak to him.
So Judas, in the end, he gets nothing but contempt from everybody.
Yeah, he's completely isolated.
Yeah.
Rejected by those he was trying to please and despised by those he helped.
Right. It's really a tragic downfall, driven by fear and desperation, and it just leads to, you know, isolation and despair.
Yeah, and I think that's what the website is trying to show us, you know, that that Judas isn't just this one-dimensional villain.
Right.
He's a complex individual, and his choices, though flawed, were shaped by, you know, these really powerful emotions and circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, this perspective definitely makes us rethink, you know, the traditional way we look at Judas.
Yeah.
It challenges us to look beyond, you know, just the greed aspect.
Right.
And to consider, you know, what might have been going on in his mind, in his heart.
Absolutely. And I think by understanding Judas's motivations, we gain a deeper understanding of, you know, just human nature in general, the power of fear, you know, and the consequences of betrayal.
Yeah. And it's interesting that the website doesn't, like, try to make excuses for Judas.
Right.
They don't try to, you know, downplay what he did.
Yeah.
But they really encourage us to, like, think about it, you know.
Yeah, to grapple with it.
Yeah, and try to understand why he might have done what he did.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's what makes this interpretation so compelling.
Right.
It reminds us that even the most familiar stories often have, you know, more to them than meets the eye.
Right, yeah. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
Exactly.
The more we look at it, the more we discover.
Yeah, and one of the things I find really interesting is this idea that that betrayal is rarely, you know, just a simple act of malice.
Right, right.
There's
right.
often all this, you know, these complicated emotions and fears and even, like, misplaced loyalties.
Yeah, and I think we see that in Judas, right? I mean, there's that fear of retaliation.
Right.
That desperation for a way out.
Yeah.
And then that belief that, you know, somehow he's serving a greater good.
Mm.
You know, and all those things, they kind of come together to lead him to make this fateful decision.
Yeah, and it's a good reminder that our actions are often shaped by forces that we may not even fully understand ourselves.
Right, right.
Fear especially can be incredibly powerful.
Mm, yeah.
You know, it can drive us to do things that we never thought we would.
And those choices, even the ones we make out of fear, they can have huge consequences.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just for ourselves, but for other people too.
Yeah, I mean, Judas's story is a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm.
His actions, you know, driven by fear, they don't just lead to Jesus's arrest, but also to his own isolation and despair.
It's a reminder that we should, you know, try to act from a place of courage and integrity.
Especially when things get tough.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think one of the most thought-provoking things about Judas's story is this idea of redemption.
Really? So even after, you know, betraying Jesus, Judas could have found redemption.
It's a question that's been debated for centuries.
Yeah.
And there's no easy answer.
Right.
The website doesn't, you know, say for sure one way or the other.
Right.
But it does make us think about the possibility that even Judas, you know, with all of his flaws, might have been able to find forgiveness.
That's a powerful thought.
It is. And it speaks to, you know, to the power of compassion and the potential for transformation.
Yeah, that's really what makes this deep dive so interesting. It makes us think about human nature, about fear, and about, you know, the possibility of redemption.
Absolutely. It challenges us.
Yeah.
And it leaves us with a lot to think about.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's keep these ideas in mind, you know?
Yeah.
Let's think about the choices we make, the things that influence us.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, we all have the potential to do harm, but also to heal.
Yeah. And remember, there's always more to learn.
Right.
More to explore.
So keep questioning, keep searching, and keep diving deep.